All right, your Bible's open tonight to the book of Song of Solomon, please, in chapter number 6. Solomon's Song in chapter number 6 tonight. I've been had this thought on my heart for quite some time. I want to preach it tonight and hope that it will be a blessing to you. Solomon's Song and chapter number 6. I believe I preached out of this verse, same verse, maybe a couple of weeks ago or it might have been last week. I'm not sure. The way time slips away anymore. But Solomon chapter 6, and I want to read one verse, and that's verse number 13. Where the Bible said, "Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were a company of two armies." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the good singing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for blessing my heart. Thank you for the people of God that are so faithful. Be back out in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that this not just be an ordinary service. That we not just leave tonight, Lord, with nothing in our heart. But may the precious Son of God breathe upon us by the power of your Spirit in an unusual way tonight. Put something in our hearts, Lord, that will change us, bless us, and help us for all time and eternity. I pray you'll give us direction and light for our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'll put joy and happiness in our homes and hearts. I'd ask you tonight to bless the preacher as I stand to do my best to preach this text. Have your divine will and way with every heart tonight. Save sinners, Lord. Revive the people of God. May Jesus be glorified in everything that is said and done, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read the entire verse again and then preach from the last part of the verse tonight, where Solomon says, "Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, a company of two armies." Solomon poses that question, and then it's answered, I believe, by the Lord. I don't think Solomon posed a question. I'll tell you who posed in a minute. But the question is posed, what will you see in the Shulamite? And then I think the Lord answers that question, as it were, the company of two armies. Now, I want to preach tonight. Lord being my helper on the thought, Miss Hall said every time you preach a message twice, it gets longer. Said the first time you preach it, it's an hour. The second time, it's an hour and a half. I said, I'll try to back off of that a little bit tonight, sis. But I want to try to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me. Around the thought, the war rages on. And the war rages on. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. I don't believe there's any way in the world tonight that we could definitely know for sure who spoke these words. I don't think there's any way possible of us knowing that dogmatically. But I will say that it's more likely than not that it was the daughters of Jerusalem that we've seen mentioned or saw mentioned so many times in this book when we studied through it several years ago. They pose the question, what will you see in the Shulamite? Then I believe it is the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, that responds to that question and in a very straight way said, as it were, the company of two armies. That's what you're going to see. In any child of God, if you look close enough, you're going to see what it was, what it is, as a company of two armies. Now, these two armies are like the two hosts that met, that Jacob saw in Genesis 32, 1 and 2. One of those hosts was an earthly host, and one of them was heavenly. In fact, the words here mean Mahanian, which is exactly where Jacob was at when he saw those two hosts. One of them is a visible band, that is Jacob and his people, and the other is an invisible band, which is a band of angels that met him there along the way. One of them is an earthly band, and the other is a heavenly band. Now, I believe that that's what we see here in the Shulamite. We see two great warring armies. We see that spiritual man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and in holiness. And then that earthly man that is yet corrupt and is waiting for that day, for the promise of God will grant glorification and redemption to the body. Now, I'll say this on the authority of the Word of God. As long as we're in this world, we're going to drag around this old body of clay. And as long as we're dragging it around with us, we might as well succumb to the fact that there is going to be a raging war that is taking place there between the flesh and the spirit. I'll say a little bit more about that after a while. Now, I know there's people that have the idea that they have arrived, that they've overcome, and they have no more complications with the flesh. Well, I want to say that if they believe that, they're a lot farther along in their spiritual life than what Brother Hall is that stands before you tonight. Amen. I still have wrestlings with my flesh. I still have trouble with my flesh, and you'll have them too. I remember years ago, and most of you know this, I've mentioned it a number of times, but Brother Herbert Williamson, myself, and Brother W.W. Burns, and Brother Burns was in his 80s. We went to see a woman, a lady, whose husband was a preacher, so-called preacher, and he had committed adultery against her and all kind of sin, and we went to try to comfort her and help her along, console her a little bit. And when we left there, Brother Herbert looked over. They were in the front seat. I was in the back. And Brother Williamson looked over at Brother Burns. And Brother Burns, I think at the time, was 82 years old. And Brother Herbert asked him this question. He said, "Preacher," said, "I want to ask you this. When does a man lose his desire to have a woman?" And the old man, very humbly and very quietly, never answered a word. He just sat there in the automobile. And I thought, well, is he going to answer or is he not going to answer? And we rode down the highway and no one said a word, not any of us for a word. And approximately 30 minutes later, Brother Burns looked over at Brother Herbert and said, "Brother Williamson," said, "that question you asked me back up the road." He said, "I'm ready to answer that now." And he said, "The question to that is, I don't know. I've not got that old yet." And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a battle raging between the spiritual man, and you can call it the old man, you can call it the flesh, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but there is nonetheless a battle raging between you and I. Now, and I believe we find that application running out throughout the Song of Solomon. In chapter 1 and verse 5, that bride says this. She said, "I'm black, but comely." Now, I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but that word "black" means that is a sign of sin in her life. And she said, "There is sin. I've got sin, but yet I'm comely." That is to say that I have been born again by the grace of God. I have been regenerated. And there is a new man in me, and that new man is the person of the Lord Jesus in the Holy Ghost that dwells within man. Amen. And so there is a perfect creation within you and I. But I want you to know that this old flesh of ours is pretty sinful. I'm not going to say that I can do everything that I once did. I don't know that a man can do that save by the grace of God. I would never make that statement. I've heard a lot of men make it. I have made it. I'd never make it again. I've thought on it. And I believe there are some sins that God will give us the power and temptations that God will give us the power to resist and overcome, that we do not have to succumb to those.
I know there have been men in the Bible. If I didn't know they were saved, I wouldn't know. If the Bible didn't say it, I wouldn't believe it. There was a man by the name of Lot that the Bible said was a righteous man. But it also says that Lot, after he came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, got drunk two nights in a row and committed incest with his own daughters. Now, had the Bible not told me that he was a just man, I'd have never believed that. The Bible said that there was eight of them on the ark that left with Noah and his three boys, and his wife and three sons and their wives, eight of them all together. And after that ark landed on Mount Ararat, some days after that, Noah built a vineyard and took the grapes of that vineyard, made him a little wine, and the Bible said that Noah got drunk. Amen. And his son Ham went in that tent where he was at. And I'm not going into detail, but it said when Noah woke up, he realized what that boy had done to him. Now, I want to say that Ham is a type of the saved that was by the grace of God that escaped the damnation of the flood. But I'm here to tell you there was a man that committed sodomy on his own father. And yet the Bible, come on now, but according to the Bible, he was a delivered man from the wrath of God that came upon this earth. Now, I'm not implying to you that practicing sodomites can be saved. In fact, I believe the Bible teaches that God will turn them over to a reprobate mind and they'll be lost forever and spend eternity in the charred walls of the damned. But I am telling you that a Christian can be overcome in the flesh and give way to sin. And we need to be reminded of that tonight. We've been told that once saved, always saved. Therefore, you can get by and do anything you want to do. That's just not the case, ladies and gentlemen. It just does not work that way. The Bible said also, and she recognizes this. Isn't that a blessing that she recognized that she was both black, but she was comely? Now, I'm going to tell you, most Baptists today don't have any problem recognizing their good points. They don't have any problem recognizing the fact that they're saved. But there's a lot of them that have a problem recognizing that there's still sin in their life that they've got to deal with on a daily basis. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Somebody said, I don't believe you're right, preacher. I beg to differ with you. Our dear brother Paul said, behold, I die daily. Every day, Paul had to die out to sin, ladies and gentlemen, in order to live for God. Amen. And there's enough sin in this world that to tempt the flesh, and we're going to have to die to that sin, you know, if we're going to please God and live for God in this world that we're living in. Now, in chapter number 2 and verse number 10, the Lord says this. She says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now, the Lord calls her my love and my fair one. But he also says, rise up. I want to ask something. What's she doing in the bed to start with? That tells me that the bride there has got a problem. If she's in her bed and it's not bedtime, she's got a real problem. Somebody say amen right there. And one of two things, the flesh had either overcome her or she had succumbed to it and given way to it and then laid down on the Lord. I wonder how many people today God would look at in our congregation if he were here and say, rise up and come away with me. You've got a problem. Your flesh has overcome you, and you've laid down on God, and you're not where you used to be with God, and you know you're not where you used to be with God, but you're still my fair one and my lovely one, so rise up and come away with me. That's another place in Solomon we find that. Amen to God, that's right. I won't say in chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Bible said the Lord again come to that little bride. And it says he stands at her door. His hair is wet with the locks of his hair is wet with the dew of the night. He's been out all night long. Now, I don't want to take much time here, but that is a picture of the Lord Jesus as He suffered in Gethsemane and spent a night long in prayer for you and I in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet He knocks on the door of that bride and she says, "Hey, I put my coat off. How shall I put it on?" And that coat there becomes a type of the flesh. She said, "My flesh is at rest. How can I?" Hey, remember that coat is a spiritual man. She said, "I put it off. How can I rise up and put it on again?" She said, "I've done laid down in the bed. Now I'm here to tell you that coat is a type of the spiritual man that she had already taken off and laid down and give way to the flesh. And I'm telling you, she would not get up out of that bed for the Lord."
Right, right.
Till He put His hand in the door of that house, the lock. And that myrrh dropped on that lock. And she said her bowels were moved within her for the Lord. I'm simply saying, folks, that there is a flesh that we're going to have to battle. I ain't got to the message yet. You stay with me. Then I want to say in chapter 5 and verse number 2, she said, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." Now that's a paradox. I'm asleep, but my heart's awake. What she's saying is that my flesh has caused me to fall into a spiritual sleep, but yet my heart's awake. She said, "I'm having trouble battling the flesh." Now, I know you don't believe that. Some of you don't believe that. But she said, "I'm having trouble battling the flesh. I'm asleep, but my heart is awake. I know what's going on, but yet I'm asleep." Now, I'm telling you, that's the way a lot of Baptists are today. They're awake, but they're asleep. Their heart's awake, and they know what's going on, but they're sleeping on God. I'm going to tell you, hey, it's time to wake up, old sleeper. It's time to rise and shine, old man of God. It's time to get up out of that flesh and overcome that flesh by the power of the Holy Ghost that lives within us and walk in newness of life as God wants us to walk. Amen. And be overcomers and be more than conquerors through God that loved us. Amen. That is exactly right. Now, may I say that we're in a terrible conflict. We're in a terrible conflict. I've said this for years. I want to continue to say it. That the greatest battle that we're fighting is not with the devil. You may believe that, but it's not so. The biggest battle we're fighting is not with the world. The biggest battle we're fighting is with ourselves. Say amen right there. You look at your biggest problem in the mirror every morning. Amen. Now that's right. Our problem is not necessarily the devil, and it's not necessarily the world. I've preached this for years, that a man, listen to me now, that a man himself, ladies and gentlemen, he does not have to listen to the world, and he does not have to listen to the devil. But this flesh is with him every awakening moment of the day. Are you listening to me? And only you can defeat you. You can say amen. Only you can defeat you. I'm going to say this, that nobody or nothing can keep you from having victory but yourself. God wants you to have victory. Christ wants you to have victory. The Holy Ghost dwelling inside wants you to have victory. But your flesh wants to drag you down and deprive you of the blessings of God, of the power of God, of the filling of the Holy Ghost, of the joy of the Lord. Come on now. He wants to deprive you of being all God wants you to be for Him. Amen. This flesh does. This flesh does. Now, I said there's a terrible conflict. Now listen carefully. You can read this if you want to. I imagine most of you know it. Galatians 5:17. The Bible said that conflict, by the way, is between the spirit and the flesh. Galatians 5:17 said, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers get up and preach this. Come on now, somebody listen to me. I've heard a lot of preachers get up and preach this and say, hey, the spirit and the flesh are warring against one another. Therefore, as a Christian, we cannot do the things that we really want to do. If that's true, we're defeated. I'm going to tell you how I read that verse. Hey, the spirit and the flesh are warring against each other, and the Holy Ghost is that spirit. If you look that word spirit in the Galatians, it is a capital S. And I'm telling you right now, the Holy greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I'm telling you, He that's in you is greater than your flesh too. And I'm telling you what the truth of that verse is that, hey, the Holy Ghost will see to it that you cannot get out here and do what your flesh wants you to do, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Now I know that's right. You might as well say amen. Praise God, that's the reason, that's one reason we've got whoremongers today and thieves and liars. Come on. That's why we've got people that sin all the time and lay around the house of God in their sin. Because they ain't learned to conquer this old dead carcass they're carrying around. Amen. Now you stay right with me. It'll get better here in a little bit, I hope. Now that word lusteth, it means to set the heart against. So if you notice, the word spirit is in capital letters. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in us has set His heart against the flesh. Amen. And the flesh, if I can use it in these terms, has set its heart against the Holy Spirit. And friend, there is a tug of war going on within you and I. Now, I'm not one of them guys. I've heard them get up and preach and said there's a black dog and a white dog in all of us. And whichever one of them you feed, the one's going to win the battle. Well, if that's the case, that black dog might win the battle and we might die and go to hell. But I'm telling you, that black dog is not going to win the battle. Amen. Praise God, the Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of us, ladies and gentlemen, is greater than our flesh. Oh, yes, and it will conquer the sins of the flesh if we will yield ourselves to it and allow it to be done. Amen. A lot of people don't want to yield themselves to it, though, Brother Troy. I remember years ago when I first got saved, I smoked. No, I.E. McGowan got up at Bible Baptist Church with a finger that long. And three straight nights, he said, if you smoke, you don't smoke, you're the sucker. Well, let me ask you something. That cigarette make me lost? No. Didn't make me. That cigarette ain't going to send nobody to hell. It'll make you smell like you just come from there, though. Amen. That's right. And he said, you're a sucker. I went home that night, laid down in that bed, isn't that where Miss Hall and I and the kids live, and laid there and reached over for that box of Marlboro, and the Lord said, the Holy Ghost said, go on, sucker. I said, who's that? So I woke up in the middle of the night and I reached over there like I always did in the middle of the night. And that boy said, go on, sucker. I got up the next morning and reached for him. And that same boy said, go on, sucker.
Amen.
And I thought, God, I got to have some relief. And here I'm going down to help him pour concrete at the church. And I ain't had a weed all day long. And boy, I'm telling you, I'm about to have a 16 fit. I'm about ready to go crazy. And I'd drive down through that little dip on Highway 31, had three packs of Marlboros in the truck, one in my pocket, two in the glove box. Holy Ghost said, now's the time. I said, wow. Grabbed the other and said, wow, wow. Three packs went out the window, friends, and I ain't had one in my mouth since. I got up that night in church down there, and I walked with an invitation, walked up on the platform. I said, I got somebody I want to tell the church. When Brother McGowan was preaching last night and said that if you don't smoke, a cigarette does, you're a sucker. I said, I'm a sucker! But not no more. And I'm hey, that ain't the point I'm making. When I gave him up, I thought, praise God, I've arrived, boy. Son, I'm telling you, the flesh, I've overcome the flesh. Hallelujah, I've won the victory. But it wasn't long after that till that same boy said, Jerry, what is that thing sitting over in your corner? I said, well, it's a television set. He said, you ought to go. I'm not. I think all of you ought to throw them out.
Amen.
But, you know, I'm not griping at you. I'm not low-rating you, but I think everybody ought to throw them out.
Amen.
I said, TV, Lord? He said, it's got to go. So eventually we got rid of the television. And I said, praise God, I'm a Christian now. I have really overcome the flesh. I don't even have to watch television no more, and I don't have to smoke no more. That makes me a model Christian, praise God. I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. It wasn't long after that the Holy Ghost said, Gary, same boy, yes, Lord, let me ask you a question. What is that in your heart? What are you talking about, Lord? I'm talking about we need to deal with a little heart matter. We need to deal with it. I'm going to tell you what gets most bad. It's not cigarettes and it's not television. It's a heart matter.
Amen.
Amen. You get the heart right, the rest of it will get right on its own. Say amen. It's a heart matter, and we have not dealt with a heart. Old John the Baptist said, you better take the axe and lay her to the root of the tree, boys. I'm going to tell you what we've been doing. We've been pruning around and cutting around on the edges and leaving that old tree standing there all bristly looking. About 2 years later, it just comes right back. I know a church not far from here that had a revival meeting. They had televisions, VCRs, and stuff lined up on the wall from one end to the other, and they said, we have had revival. Well, the pastor left that church. He hadn't been gone a month till they all had him back. Did they have revival? No! Because it never got out of their heart. And I've told you, and I'm telling you again, hey, it wouldn't do you a bit of good to throw a television out because I asked you to do it. But if God tells you to do it, then do it by His grace, and God will bless you and help you. But don't do it if I tell you to, because if I leave here, you might go out and get it back. And I'm going to tell you, the second state of that man's worse than the first.
That's right.
Amen. Are y'all listening? I'm going to tell you what we need to deal with. Them things in here. We'll never learn. That Bible said that man judges the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And I'm not taking away from modest apparel on women and men dressing right, but God looks on the heart, ladies and gentlemen. You'd be surprised at the bitterness, the animosity, the hatred, the dishonesty, many other sins that lie within the heart of man.
Yes,
heard a preacher say not long ago, man, yet saved, he's got a perfect heart. Praise God, do a job. I'm going to tell you what Jeremiah said. He said, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
I ain't never seen anybody with a perfect heart but Jesus.
Right.
You find a man with one, let me know. I'd like to know about it.
Amen.
Are you listening to what Brother Hall's saying? Praise God, I'm telling you, we need an old-fashioned revival when God will deal with our hearts. You'd be surprised at families. Come on now. You'd be surprised at families. And I've got a feeling probably some families right here in this very church that's got hard feelings in their heart about one another right here in this church. Don't tell me the church can be right. If you can't get along with your family, how are you going to get along with God's family? That's right.
Amen.
We want to fuss and fight and argue and carry on. And then want to make people believe that we're thoroughly right with God. Don't work that way.
You better take care of the heart. Yes, and I'm going to tell you something. You know where I've had most of my trouble from? Those that think they're the most spiritual. I've never had an ounce of trouble. I've never had an ounce of trouble from some people. But some people never claim to be real spiritual. Brother Robert sat over there in that corner for almost 22 years. And I'm telling you, as a matter of fact, to this day, I don't know that he and I have ever had one cross word to one another. Not one. But he comes to church, sits over there and does what he's supposed to do and goes home, takes care of his family. Amen. Never had a moment's trouble out of it. He's always been the same yesterday, today, and I guess he will be forever. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I've never had any problem with that. Boy, you take these super spiritual people. Amen. And I'm here to tell, come on now. I'm going to tell you, we've got to a place, it's been a long time since I preached on a little bit of standard thing. We've got to the point where we worship standards. If we cut our hair just right, and I think men ought to. By the way, I think women ought to. I don't think we ought to bum it. I don't think we ought to color it. I think we ought to take what God's given it and let her be that way. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, I believe in standards. But bless God, I ain't made of my God. I've been in camp meetings, buddy, and the preacher gets up and preaches on women in bullfighting breeches and bobbed hair and this and that. And I don't think a woman ought to have bobbed hair. And I don't think a woman ought to wear a bullfighting breeches. You understand what I'm saying? But I've seen Bible preachers get up and preach on, and men climb, preachers climb the walls. Woo! Glory to God, that's really a preacher. Bring her down, preacher. Hey, amen. Nail her on there. Amen. I'm going to tell you, and they shout over that. Somebody will come right along behind them and talk about the grace and mercy of our God and how that the Lord reached down an omnipotent hand of mercy and grace and lifted us out of sin and loved us when we ought to be cast into hell with our backs broke, and yet God loved us enough to come to earth and die for us and preach on the cross, and they'll sit there and look at you like a calf in a new gate. I'm going to tell you why they will. They know all about hair and they know all about bullfighting bridges, but they don't know a billy goat's grump about the cross of Calvary. Yeah. They don't know a thing about the finished work of Christ and what God done to save you and I. Yeah. It's lost and on our way to hell. Son, if you can't get stirred up about God dying, I'll guarantee you, the Bible don't say it, but I'll guarantee you when old Barabbas come out of that prison, he is having himself a time when he realized that Christ took his place on Calvary, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. But you can't get Baptists stirred up over that. But they can a lot of other things. They out riding motorcycles now and evangelizing on motorcycle gangs and they'll go to meetings and preach against motorcycles, and this crowd will shout, and then this crowd will get up and preach for motorcycles, and this crowd will shout. Right. Right. And I'm thinking, how stupid.
Amen.
Shouting over a motorcycle. Park her out in the garage and just neglect it for a little while and see what happens to it. Won't take her long for rust to set in. But I'm going to tell you something else. Praise God, I'm about to have a fit right now. Park Christ in your heart for a little while. Now I guarantee you, him or you, neither one will rust. Amen. There's coming a resurrection morning when this old body will get up that we fought with all those years and put on incorruption and immortality. Woo! Bless his wonderful name. Now I'm going to tell you why I can say we can overcome it, because we've already got the victory. I've read it in the Bible. Now, I am trying to hurry, believe it or not. The weapons of the flesh. I'll move right through these. Number one, it enjoys pleasing self. I mean, and that's just the bottom line of it. You know why it's hard to get folks around here to get involved in meetings and stuff?
and help do things like help get the food and help serve and help clean the building and help do. You know why? Because they're flesh pleasers. They want to please themselves rather than pleasing God. Somebody said, I don't enjoy doing that. Hey, there's a lot of things I don't enjoy doing. Do you think I enjoy them Tucson, Arizona, ramming my arm down in that commode? Up to my elbow and pull it around, buddy? I didn't enjoy it, but I done it. I've had to do a lot of things in life I didn't enjoy. If you get saved, you're going to have to do a lot of things you don't enjoy. But if you're in the Spirit, not in the flesh, you will do it to gratify Jesus in your life. Oh, Lord, help us. What will you see in the Shulamite? Has it be an army of two companies of armies? As it were, the company of two armies. That's what you'll see in her. Two different armies. And I'm going to tell you, it says two different armies, friend. And don't you think that this flesh is not an army battling against you. Weapons of the flesh. Self-pleasures, because it's selfish. Amen. The flesh is the most selfish thing in all this world. Amen. Now, I say this honestly, and I know there could be a slight hair's breadth difference if you want to split hairs. But what do you think? What do you think? What do you think makes men sit and indulge in liquor all the time? They want to please the flesh. And they are pleased, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but not only are they pleased, but they think they're having pleasure out of it. Until they wake up the next morning, bright and early. Come on, you've been there. Well, I woke up so sick, I would to God, I could have died right on the spot. If I'd have had a gun back in, I'd have probably shot myself. Oh, been sick on it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hey, and all the time trying to gratify the flesh, looking for something that'll give me joy and pleasure and entertainment. I'm telling you that all it is flesh that will vanish away, rather than looking for the rich things of life, like the Lord Jesus dwelling in us and pleasing Him and laboring for Him and crucifying this flesh and doing that which brings joy and happiness to the heart of Him. And I'm if you make Him happy, I'll guarantee you He'll make you happy. Somebody said, now, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, let me just give you this little deal. I'll guarantee if you make your wife happy, she'll make you happy, friend. She'll put them cat head biscuits that big around on the table. Melt butter on them dudes, boy. Throw that jelly on there. Woo! Lord have mercy. That big, thick jab bacon fried up real good. But I'm going to tell you what, you treat her like a dog, get up some morning and say, honey, where's the cat head biscuits and the mutter and the jelly and the jab bacon? It's in the refrigerator, bub. Get it yourself. Well, Lord, I'm seeking, I'm asking. You said about ask, I'd receive. Where's this blessing at? Oh, it's there, but go get it yourself, bud. Ain't that right or not? I believe that's right. Want to please ourselves. Then we look for pleasures. Old Moses, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's only for a little while. It's only for a little while. When I was a young teenager, you young kids listen to me, when I was a young teenager, boy, I thought I was, can I use your word, I thought I was cool. Had my arm hanging out of that 51 Ford. Cruising up through Scottsburg and around Park and Eat and around Cliff Drive In. We'd buy them gallon jugs of A&W root beer and throw them up, make people think we was really drinking moonshine or something. Trying to act big, and all it was root beer. Boy, and I thought I was really having fun. got a little older and the thing got real, and I realized it wasn't as much fun as I thought.
Right.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm saying you'll find out that it's not a lot of fun.
Right.
There is pleasure in sin for a season.
Right.
It don't last. Moses said, I'd rather suffer affliction now and enjoy heaven for eternity than I would have that little bit of pleasure and then die and go to hell. God help us. God help us tonight. There's a war raging. You know I'm telling you the truth. There's probably a war raging in some of you right now. That's why some of you in here won't get saved. That old flesh keeps telling you, don't do it. Don't make a fool out of yourself. You'll make a fool out of yourself if you go up there. Don't do it. Make a fool out of yourself for Jesus. Nothing wrong with it. I've made a fool out of myself four more times than once, and would again if he'd let me. I wouldn't have liked nothing better tonight. When the choir was singing, they got down on my hands and knees, bless God, and crawled around over this auditorium shouting and carrying on, slinging snot and tears from one end of it to the other, and praising God. That's right. But you don't just take that kind of liberty. It's fleshly. I want to be real. Amen. So there's pleasure in sin for a season. That's another one of the flesh's weapons. And then people. I thought about the son of David, one named Amnon. And Amnon had a daughter named Tamar. But he also had a friend named Jonadab. And oh, Amnon fell in love with his own sister. So here comes old Amnon in. Here comes Jonadab in. Said, you're the king's son, man. Said, what are you doing lean from day to day? Why are you so lean? He said, because I love my sister. And Amnon, the Bible said he was a very crafty and subtle man, wickeder than the devil himself. He said, I'm going to tell you what to do. Tell the king that you're sick. Have her to come over and make you cakes in your sight. Get her in this bedroom and said, then you can do whatever you want to with her. And he did. He lured her into that bedroom and forced that woman. And the Bible said that he hated her, that the hatred he had for her was greater than the love that he had for her after he had already offended that girl and put her out of the house and told her never to come back. And I'm going to tell you, who was a whole lot responsible for that? Jonadab. And friend, I'm going to tell you, you better be careful of people.
Right.
You better be careful of getting off and listening to what people's got to say.
Yes,
you better, hey, that's right, you better be careful. I'm telling you, there's always somebody that knows what you need to do in your situation to make things right with God and right with yourself and get things done.
Right.
To get you what you want, even if it is no more than the gratifications of your flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Son, I've seen some deceptive men in my day. That's right. They deceive you in a New York minute to get what they want, put on a front, play a hypocrite, get what they want, then the truth comes out on the egg suckers of what they really are.
All right, amen.
Amen. I've seen more than one of them, I'm going to tell you.
Yes, sir.
Now listen.
Yes.
We must reckon ourselves dead to sin. Paul said in Romans 6:11, I am hurried. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto Christ through Jesus Christ our Lord. You ever hear the story of Haman and Mordecai? Oh, Haman couldn't stand Mordecai. Oh, Mordecai was a Jew in bondage, and Haman was in the king's court. And every time Haman would go by, all the other Jews would bow to him. Mordecai wouldn't bow.
Amen.
Haman told his wife, that Mordecai! He won't bow for me. Well, you know the story. I can't tell all the story. Don't have time for it. I'm going to tell you, he told his wife, said, you build a gallows 50 cubits high for old Mordecai, and we'll see if we can't get him hung on that thing. Haman's the type of the flesh. Mordecai's the type of the spiritual man.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when that young lady, when Esther finally got into the king, who is a type of the Holy Ghost, and got into the king and told the king what was going on, he called in old Haman and put him on the carpet and told his guard, said, take him out and hang him on those gallows 50 cubits high. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that Haman, the flesh, died on the very gallows that he had built for the spiritual man. I'm glad, thank God. I'm glad, thank God, that the spirit and the flesh lusted against each other, but thank God for the Holy Ghost. He will give us victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to His name. We don't have to live in sin or yield to the flesh. We can walk in the... body. We only reckon ourselves dead to sin. We're dead to sin.
Amen.
I want to run that by you again. We're dead to sin, but the Spirit is alive under Christ.
Amen.
Refuse to let sin reign in your mortal body. Paul said in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:4 said, you have not yet resisted under blood, striving against sin. But we don't have to let sin reign in our mortal body. We don't have to let sin reign in our flesh. Now, I know this is not very exciting, but I'm going to tell you right where a lot of Baptists are living tonight. That's why that's why a lot of folks are in trouble. That's why a lot of folks are having troubles. That's why a lot of families are having troubles. That spiritual man does not have control of your life, ladies and gentlemen. If you're having so much trouble, that's right. Come on now. Now listen carefully. The weapons of the Spirit. I don't have time to name them all. I'm not going to mention all the armor. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible does say in Ephesians 6:17. It says, take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
What a weapon against the flesh. This Bible, the Word of God. Oh, it's been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. I want to hide its Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I'll tell you, if you hide that Word in your heart, every time this flesh tempts you to commit sin, that Word will jump out and say, whoa, 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 whoa! You may yield, but I guarantee you that Word that's hid in there will certainly cause you to stop and think, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe it will. Amen. The Bible is one of the greatest weapons we have against the flesh. Amen. That's right. Prayer is one of the greatest weapons we have against the flesh. Self-denial is one of the greatest weapons that we have against the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. I die every day. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen.
Anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you. Hey. Jesus told His disciples, deny yourself. I'm going to tell you another good weapon. The cross. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And come after me. Oh, what a blessing that is. I'm going to tell you that ought to humble all of our hearts.
Amen.
To know that Christ has told us to take up our own cross. I've heard people say He didn't carry it. Oh, but I'm telling you, Brother John, in John's Gospel. He got him a good advantage point, and he said, and he saw Jesus bearing His own cross. You better believe He carried it.
Amen.
He had never, if He hadn't carried His, He'd have never told you and I to carry ours.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you get out from under that cross, you're subject to go stray. But as long as you've got that cross mounted across your shoulder, I'm talking about in your heart.
Amen.
As long as you've got that cross mounted on you, you ain't about to go astray. It won't let you.
Amen.
If you never, I just thought of that one. If you put that cross on your shoulder, you'll never stray from Calvary.
Amen.
Woo, that's my thought. Hallelujah to God. You'll never stray from the cross, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Men and women get in trouble when they stray from Calvary and get away from the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm about done. There's a territory that's conquered. If the Spirit can overcome the flesh, what can be conquered? I want to say, number one, the affections of our heart. We owe Jesus the affections of our heart, do we not? When they come into the land of Canaan, old Joshua looked at them, and he said, who are you going to serve? And God's on the other side of the river? Huh? Flood? Are the gods of this land? He said, I don't know who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I'll tell you why, because he had some affections in his heart for Jesus. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, church, how we need to love him today.
Amen.
May God help me to love him more. Man, I could be in hell. I could have been in hell so many times. I found myself in so many situations before I was saved. If I'd have died, I'd have been in hell as sure as the world.
Amen.
And I mean, very easily could have been there. But God spared me.
Amen.
Bless his wonderful name. Through the providence of God. You can think, call me whatever you want, but through the providence of God, he spared me.
Amen.
And brought me home where I could hear the gospel preached and be saved by his marvelous grace. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
I owe him all my affections. All to him I owe. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it, hallelujah,
yes,
as white as snow, and owe it all to Jesus. Amen and amen.
Yes.
Everything that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to him. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for?
Yes,
what I want to know. Amen to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Who am I that one of the king would send down into Lodibar and say, fetch all up out of Lodibar, the land of no bread. I can hear that servant saying, you mean the one that's crippled on both feet? He's no good for you. Yes, the king said, go get him. Fetch him. God, I'm telling you, that chariot stopped down there at Mephibosheth's door, knocked on the door and said, Mephibosheth, the king wants you. And I imagine he started shaking. Oh, what about laying in there on a little straw tick? The son of Jonathan.
Amen.
And David showed him favor for Jonathan's sake. The son.
Amen.
You'll catch that after a while. And it's the Holy Ghost that goes down there to get him. The king went, and I imagine he began to shake. Well, he's going to take my head off, sure enough. I heard Doc Sotler preaching on Mephibosheth one night. He got Mephibosheth in the chariot. And he said, we bogged down. He said, we shouted for 15 minutes. He said, we started back all over again, got him back out in that chariot one more time. Said, we bogged down again and shouted for another 15 minutes. And we went back in the house and brought him out with the tender hands of the servant of God and laid him down in that chariot one more time and said, it bogged down the third time and said, I never did try to get it back. I just went on with the rest of the crowd and had myself a shouting time. Amen. That's what some of you need to realize. That God came to Lodibar, the land of no bread, where you were crippled on both feet, and with tender hands, he lifted you, hallelujah, out of that place of no bread, and brought you and set you down at the king's table,
That's right. So we owe him our affections. Elijah asked the people, said, how long halt you between two opinions? Carnal and spiritual. I won't go into all that. But then we, now there's some more territory we conquer, not only the affections of our heart, but the aspirations of our soul. That word aspiration means a breathing. I wonder if we're really panting after the water brooks.
Amen.
As a soul panteth after thee, O God. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. As a heart. Has he won our aspirations? Are we aspired from within to hunger after God, to thirst after him? To pant at the water brooks for him. Do we want him more than anything else in the world? We'll never have him till we want him more than everything else in all the world. Money and all. You can have it all. Give me Jesus. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, nothing can keep me out of hell but the Lord Jesus. He's got the power to save and keep my soul out of hell. Give me Christ. You can have her all. But give me the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I want to be like David. I wish to God I could pant every day. Just pant after God. Like a hound dog on a trail. Panting after him. Thirsting after him. Hungering after him.
Amen.
Somebody said, you act crazy. Call me whatever you want to do. What do you think the word pant means? I've run a few 2 mile cross countries, and when I got done, I was panting, praise God.
Amen.
Now, I won't say we've also conquered the activities of life. I won't say something here. I'm not against a little leisure time. I think the Lord teaches the fact that everybody needs a little leisure time. He told his people, men, that. They need a little time to themselves. But you know something, I think sometimes we can carry things overboard. In the activities that we have of life. That it's given time that we could be given to Jesus. We give to other activities of life rather than giving it to Him. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Now I'm not against it because I enjoy hunting. I'm not much of a fisherman. Everybody wants me to go catch a bass. So I guess I'm going to have to go out there and show these young bucks how to catch a bass. Praise God. I'll bring one in. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened this morning. I walked over here after Sunday school, say hi to brother Troy and to Jake and the baby. And I walked over and I seen old Joe Bob was sitting here, and he was just carrying on. And brother Troy was going, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. And I said, what are you doing, Joe Bob? Brother Rickard said, he's telling me about a shark he caught. I said, Joe Bob, you didn't catch no shark. And he went. But I mean, buddy, he was feeding it hook, line, and sinker, boy. Some, I hope none of you guys tell any stories like that. Surely you ain't been out there at Brother Chuck's and caught a shark. Jeff caught some bass, and I don't mind that. That don't bother me. I think everybody needs a little relaxation. I mean that. But I'm going to tell you something. We can get carried away. We start investing hundreds of dollars in them big bass contests, big buck contests, you know, one thing and another. Big bear contests, and they can have all the bear they want. Bless God, I ain't hunting no bear. I've seen them hunting with a bow and arrow. I wouldn't even hunt one with a machine gun, much less a bow and an arrow, buddy. I don't care. I'm like that one. I don't care nothing about being on there a hero. I want to stay alive, friend. Well, if you wound him, he turns on you, buddy. You're in bad shape. I read a story where a guy shot one, and this guy was hunting one. He run up against the bear track and realized that the bear had become the hunter, and he was the hunted. And he heard that bear and climbed up a tree, and here come that bear
right up that tree after him, and he had a 44. He said, boom, and that bear kept coming, and boom, and that bear kept coming. Boom, that bear kept coming. He said, finally, it got right at him and opened up his mouth. He said, I just run that 44 in his throat and said, boom, I'm going to hit him out there. Said he dropped to the ground. Now, I'm going to tell you what. He said, that was really exciting. I thought, buddy, it might have been exciting to you, but I'm going to tell you that. I'm telling you, I'd have had a heart attack on the spot, friend. They'd had to call 911 and got me out of them woods. A bear starts climbing a tree after me. I'm going to tell you why I said a boom, boom, boom. I'm going to go higher, praise God. I'm going higher with Jesus. Amen. How's I can get up and crawl out on one of the littlest limbs I can get on. Hope it's too little for him to climb on. I'm not a bear hunter. We was up, Brother Johnny Jordan went up on the side of the mountain. There was all kind of tracks around there, and there was something laying there on the ground. I said, Brother Jones, what's that? He said, that's a bear. Huh? I said, I'm glad he ain't around here now. I sure don't want nothing to do with that dude. Are you listening to me? Activities. We get carried away with it, any of it. Depriving us of what Christ wants out of our affections. It will deprive Christ of our affections. Then the treasure captured, peace of God, prosperity in our spiritual life, the power of God, praise in our hearts, and then the triumphant consummation, and I'm done. You see why I said we can have victory? It's because it's already been won. It's already been won. I'm talking about victory over the flesh. It has already been won. Oh, now don't think you can just lay down on your backside and God will do it all. He won't. It's like that little bride just laid down. I can't come out. I've already took my coat and shoes off. Rise up. Well, I'm already laying down. You can't lay down on God and expect to get there. It is a battle, and you better not drop your guard. Because I'm telling you, the flesh is. The Philistines, the type of the flesh. You look and read how they got Samson. They never changed their game plan one time. They had Delilah in one room. They was in another room. And every time she cried out, Samson, the Philistines be upon you, those men come running in the room. They've done that four times in a row. Got it. They never change their plan. And the flesh never changes its plan. The same old flesh. Day in and day out. Now, triumphant consummation. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now listen carefully. I'm done. One of these days, this old flesh that has fought us for so long will be quickened and glorified. Then will come harmony between the two. I don't see some of you looking kind of strange. When a quickened body is carrying a quickened spirit, they can't help but to be in perfect unity and harmony. But right now, this flesh is not quickened. In fact, it's pretty sorry and raunchy, wicked. But we can have the victory over it. You got it tonight? Is flesh bothering you somewhere? Troubling you? Working on you? Trying to turn you against somebody in the church, turn you against your family, turn you against a loved one. Don't let that happen. Somebody said, the devil made me do that. No, the devil didn't make you do nothing. You listen to yourself, and they're right there. Let's stand together.